Some folks ain't bald when you never had a wife. But he did. And she was unlike any woman who ever was born. Only a head shorter than Paul, not quite so broadly built. She was a beautiful creature. Erect and solid and as graceful as a northern pine.
Governor of Minnesota, Orville L. Freeman, is a native of Minneapolis. He had an outstanding record at the University of Minnesota, Phi Beta Kappa, Minnesota Law Review, M Club, graduating magna cum laude from the law school. He also had a distinguished military record with the U.S. Marine Corps in World War II, including a Purple Heart Award. His dynamic political career led to the governorship in 1954 and re-election in 1956 and 1958. Wherever Governor Freeman appears, he is a great credit to himself and to the state of Minnesota. To present the statue to the United States, may I present to you the Honorable Orville L. Freeman, Governor of the state of Minnesota, Governor Freeman.
Thank you very much, Senator Anderson, Reverend Scott, Lieutenant King, and the Marine Corps Band, who we've enjoyed here so very much, the Carolyn Singers and their outstanding presentation. If there's anyone who doesn't believe all those stories about Paul Bunyan, just ask the U.S. Marine Corps, they'll tell you. Senator Thigh, Representative Popovich, and other members of the Minnesota Centennial Commission, members of the Maria Sanford Committee, representatives in the United States Congress, fellow Minnesotans, and other Americans who have gathered here today to participate with us in both enjoying and in making this, we trust, a memorable occasion. Minnesota's centennial year draws to a close, and as it does so, this is surely an appropriate occasion. We are more than honored, those of us who are privileged to participate in an official capacity, to be here and to make the presentation of this outstanding piece of sculpture, and along with it, the memories and the lessons that can be drawn from the productive and effective life of Maria Sanford. The distinguished president of the University of Minnesota, Dr. Morrow, has in his dedicatory address so very aptly described the high points, the outstanding contribution of this gifted and remarkable woman. As I have read a little of her life, it has seemed to me that perhaps the outstanding thing in it has been the concentration on purpose, the concentration on driving purpose intent, the concentration on mobilizing the capacities and the abilities that far too often lie dormant. You may have noted when Dr. Morrow said that she said at one time that more than half the brain lies dormant, smothered under weak and narrow aims. It seemed to me this is a very apt and purposeful statement in this year of 1958. And from it, I think all of us can learn that we can do better with the talents with which we have been blessed. We can put them to better service. And we can also seek to give higher purpose to others in our process of living with one another and trying to pass on some of the things that each of us learn day by day and year by year. This has been one of the real purposes of Minnesota's centennial year, to pay tribute to those who have made possible the 100 years of progress which we have enjoyed, to pay proper notice to the contributions that they have made, but in the doing, to also learn from the rich examples, to learn the lessons of the past, and to seek to apply them to the challenges of the present and the future. And no lesson, I think, can be more meaningful than that of strong and resolute purpose that we should make certain that the talents and the abilities that we have should not lie dormant under an idle and aimless drifting lack of purpose. And so today, as we gather here in this rotunda of our nation's capital, we of Minnesota are proud to make this presentation, and in making the presentation, to make also available and to remind those of us here and the millions of people who pass through this area and review the statutes here, to make available to them the richness that will come with the understanding of the contributions of this great woman and of the resolute purpose that dominated her life and that made possible the outstanding accomplishments which she gave to the state of Minnesota and to the United States of America. And so, Senator Thigh, it is my very great privilege on behalf of all the citizens of the state of Minnesota to present to you and through you to the United States of America this piece of statutory and along with it our deep appreciation for the contribution of this remarkable woman and the knowledge too that we have all learned and that future generations will continue to learn from her example and from her resolute purpose. Thank you.
United States Senator Edward J. Thigh was raised on a Minnesota farm in Rice County. He enlisted and served with the Army Air Corps in World War I, winning a commission in France in 1918. His interest in civic and farm organization work led to his appointment as Deputy Commissioner of Agriculture for the state of Minnesota in 1939. In 1942, he was elected Lieutenant Governor. He became a governor in April of 1943 and was reelected in 1944. In 1946, he was elected to the United States Senate, where he has served since. He is a greatly respected public servant, and his record is characterized by high principles, warm humanitarianism, and devotion to duty. We are indeed honored to have Senator Thigh with us this afternoon to accept the statue on behalf of the United States of America. Senator Thigh.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Anderson, Governor Freeman, President Morrill, Miss Raymond, the honored and distinguished guest, it is my distinct honor this afternoon, in behalf of the people of the United States, to accept the statue of Maria Sanford to be placed in the statutory hall of this great capital of the United States, amongst the other of the great celebrated personage that did so much in building a great nation that you and I are privileged to be a part of. Dr. Morrill, you so very ably gave to us in words a sort of a portrait of the achievement of this great person, Maria Sanford. May this generation be blessed with someone that is equally endowed with a scholastic ability that will aid this nation in exploring the outer spaces that man is today prodding into, in order that man may learn how to achieve that which will give him security in the knowledge and understanding what lies beyond the gravity of the earth, and may those that follow this great person, Maria Sanford, have the understanding and the intelligence to give us that scholastically that man must have if he shall be able to shape not only the affairs of this nation, but to plan securely for a permanent and lasting peace. As man has achieved, first the unknown in the ages of yesterday, the atomics, and when man has achieved that which is now within the missile, that travels at such great speed, the distance of the earth has been shrunken to only a matter of moments. This generation must have, and I pray and I say this reverently, Pastor Scott, that we have coming to us someone that possesses the same patriotism, the same scholastic intelligence that this great person of whom we are paying tribute and honor to today as we stand here and as we sit here to pay our tribute to Maria L. Sanford, to her memory, to her achievement, and that we be privileged as a citizen of this great nation to view the statue of her and to know that that statue will be placed in the statutory room of this great capital, the capital of the United States. And no greater nation has been shaped by man than that of the United States of America. And if we be so blessed that we shall have one come amongst us with that same driving patriotism and that determined scholastic endeavors, then we may think for the years of tomorrow with a feeling of security that we shall have the intelligence to be able to shape the affairs of not only our nation, but to give to the world the kind of leadership that'll bring to mankind permanent and lasting peace. Only in that manner will man be secure in this day and in this age of the atomics and the speed and the terrificness that is threatened in the development of the guided missile. So it is with great honor that I be privileged to receive from the governor of the state of Minnesota and its people, in behalf of the United States and its people, the statue of this great person, Maria L. Sanford, that she be placed in that honorary position amongst the statues of the great people that builded one of the greatest nation known in all the history of mankind.
Maria Sanford Research led the statue committee to relatives in Connecticut. And it seemed only appropriate to have a representative of the family on this program. We selected Vivian Sanford Eckwurzel, whose great-grandmother was a cousin of Maria Sanford. Vivian is an honor student contemplating a life of service in education or nursing. She will place a wreath provided by Rose Arnold Powell at the statue at this time.
Vivian.
Representing the Minnesota Federation of Women's Clubs, we will hear from past president, Mrs. Kermit Haugen, who will also present Miss Lenore Karstad. Mrs. Haugen.
Speak up as loud as you can.
Senator Anderson, distinguished and honored guests and friends. The year was 1919, the day an important one. Students quickly filled the high school auditorium. Teachers had carefully groomed them to be on their very best behavior. For the assembly speaker that day was a very great person in Minnesota, perhaps in all of United States. Soon the principal appeared on the platform, accompanied by an elderly woman, severely dressed in black. Her gray hair pulled into a knot at the back of her neck. She looked very small indeed, away up there on that big stage. The principal introduced her. Everyone stood in tribute. She began to speak. Her voice filled that auditorium as she urged the students to seek more and more education. For education was the very foundation of a worthwhile and happy life. The speaker was Mariah L. Sanford. Mariah L. Sanford, the only person upon whom the Minnesota Federation of Women's Clubs has ever bestowed an honorary membership. Mariah L. Sanford, in whose honor the Federation established a scholarship over 50 years ago. Mariah L. Sanford, in whose memory the Federation further honored when it adopted a resolution proposed by Rose Arnold Powell, later confirmed in 1943 by the Minnesota legislature to reserve a place for Mariah L. Sanford's statue as the second representative Minnesotan to be placed in the national capital. 1957, 14 years later, the statue was still a dream, cherished by the Minnesota Federation of Women's Clubs. But centennial year was just around the corner. What better time to pay tribute to one of Minnesota's greatest citizens? The The 1957 legislature agreed. A state centennial focuses the attention of citizens of all ages upon history and the persons who made it. 1958 was no exception in Minnesota. In addition to study programs, the clubs within the Minnesota Federation busied themselves with seeking a living counterpart of their heroine. 10 women, one from each of the organization's districts, was thusly honored last spring. A successful centennial observance also focuses the attention of youth upon a state's history and personages. At the suggestion of the Mariah Sanford Statue Committee, and in cooperation with the State Department of Education, the Minnesota Federation of Women's Clubs was privileged to conduct a contest to choose that high school student who could best recite Miss Sanford's apostrophe to the flag for today's observance. 128 schools in Minnesota sent candidates to the district contests. It is in a humble spirit of gratitude to all of those who have made this day possible. Together with a deep sense of joy and satisfaction in achievement, that the Minnesota Federation of Women's Clubs proudly presents to you now the winner of that state high school Mariah Sanford speech contest, Miss Lenora Karstead of Nicollet, Minnesota. Miss Karstead.
The Apostrophe to the Flag by Mariah L. Sanford. Hail, thou flag of our fathers, flag of the free. With pride and loyalty and love we greet thee, and promise to cherish thee forever. How wonderful has been thy onward progress of conquest through the years. How marvelous the triumph of thy followers over the vicissitudes of fortune that meet thee on their way. Daring men have reverently placed thee on the highest crag of the frozen north, and have, as reverently, stationed thee on the cloud-swept wastes of the far-off frozen south. They have followed thee in willing service over the wastes of every ocean, and into the depths of the impenetrable blue. Stalwart, strong-hearted men have willingly laid down their lives at thy command to guard the outposts of freedom. Millions of men, women, and children have stood at attention, listening for the first sound of thy need, willing to give their all, if need be, for thy defense. Thousands upon thousands of our bravest and our best have followed thee across the seas for the glorious privilege of defending the weak and the helpless, of reinforcing the hard-pressed lives of brave men who would not yield. Our flag, it has long been known as the emblem of strength and power. The stricken nations of the earth have learned sweeter attributes: kindly sympathy, loving service, generous helpfulness. By these thou art welcomed throughout the earth. Glorious and beautiful flag of our fathers, the star-spangled banner, beautiful in thine own waving folds, glorious in the memory of the brave deeds of those who chose thee for their standard.